Good morning. Today's daf and sota is Mem Beis. We are Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We're a little bit from the top of the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Zech Nishmas Liba Gabriel Bashmuel. Let us continue from yesterday's discussion. We are in Parshas HaMelech. Parshas HaMelech is what we would describe as Hakel. Kind of interesting that the Mishnah itself doesn't use the term Hakel, but we refer to it as the mitzvah of Hakel, once every 7 years, after the Shemitah year on Sukkot, on the second day of Sukkot. So we make a platform, we build a wooden platform in the Ezras Nashim. King stands on the platform, and the king will be addressing the Jewish people, everyone, men, women, and children. He's going to read sections of Sefer Dvarim. Yesterday we went through exactly which sections of Sefer Dvarim he's going to read, and this is a get together, an inspirational get together that occurs about once every 7 years. Kind of interesting that nowadays we also, with the Daf Yomi, we've also created kind of like a once every 7 years an inspirational get together. But back then, they didn't have Daf Yomi. And they had a Beis HaMikdash, and they had a mitzvah in the Torah. So they had what was referred to as Hakel. Okay, so that's basically what we've been discussing. We are now going to segue from here, from where we are right now, until the rest of the perek, until Mem Beis HaMen Aleph, when we get to the end. So we're going to segue into a discussion of Chanifa, flattery. It's an Isser. You're not allowed to do it. It will become abundantly clear from the Gemara. The Gemara will speak very strongly against the Isser of Chanifa. And why did it come up now? How does it come up in the end of the seventh perek of Sota? Because of a line in the Mishnah. If you look back in the Mishnah, we will see... There was a procedure in which Sefer Torah got handed from one to the second to the third to the fourth. In the case of the Melech, to the fifth, meaning it goes from the Chazan to the Rosh HaKnesses to the Skan to the Kohen Gadol and then to the King, and then the Hamelech Omeid Umekabel the Korei Yoshev. So he would stand in order to accept the Torah, and then he would sit down. So that is what the Mishnah describes was the general procedure. Remember yesterday we asked the question, he stands up, meaning he was sitting down. How could he sit down? So the first answer, of course, is before we get to the Gemara's answer, is that he's a king. And we know that nobody's allowed to sit in the Azara, but a special dispensation was given out to the king. The king is allowed to sit in the Azara. But what bothers the Gemara is the next line, which is Agrippus. Agrippus HaMelech, who was a king post Chashmonaim, right? The first day of Hanukkah today, so it is unbelievably appropriate that we talk a little bit about some of the later kings. So Agrippus HaMelech, Amar V'kibal V'kara, Omeid. So when he would read the Sefer Torah, he would read it standing, meaning he started in a sitting position, and he would read it standing. Now, Agrippus did not come from Beis Yehuda, and to be even more honest, we'll talk more about this in just a moment, he may not have been even a full Jew. He may have been just simply a part Jew. Generally speaking, we don't talk in terms of, you know, part Jew. You generally talk in terms of either you're Jewish or you're not. But we'll clarify that point in just a moment. But in the meantime, Agrippa got the Sefer Torah. And when he would read the Sefer Torah during Hakel, so he would do while standing up. V'shibchu chachamim, the chachamim thought that was great. Now, part of the kriya of Hakel is to read Parshas HaMelech, meaning the section in Shoftim that talks about the appointment of a king. So, lelo tuchal kishihigi, I'm sorry, I'm just rereading the Mishnah. Ukishihigi, lelo tuchal, asesalech ish nachri. So then he gets the line that read, that you're not allowed to appoint a foreigner as your king. Ish nachri. You can't be a foreigner. It has to be somebody who's native. Okay? So, and again, the definition will come up momentarily. But when he read that, clearly he knew that he didn't qualify. In other words, he was sitting there appointed as the king, but he really should not have been the king. Zagre nafdamo, so he started crying. Amru lo, I'll take, because his guilty conscience got the best of him. Amru lo, they said to him, meaning the chachamim that were there, who were watching all this happen, their response was, Al titkare Agrippa, achinuata, achinuata. And they said, oh, you have nothing to worry about, you're a brother. Okay, so they flattered him. And leads us to the following discussion. Okay, that was the Mishnah. So now we turn the page. So v'shavchu chachamim. This is where we left off yesterday. The question was just to review what we saw yesterday. Question on the table was, how can Agrippa Samalach be sitting in the Azara? Meaning he's not from Yeshiva Yehuda. Only a king from Yeshiva Yehuda is allowed to sit. How can he sit? So the Gemara's answer was, Gemara gave this answer a couple times yesterday. It wasn't in the Azara proper. It was in Ezra Sinashim. Ezra Sinashim just east of the Azara, right? That the courtyard just east of the Azara. It's called Ezra's Nashim, but really, status-wise, it has the status of Harabayas, and you're allowed to sit within Ezra's Nashim. That was the Gemara's answer yesterday. Good. We continue now in the Gemara. Shavchu Chachamim, the Chachamim praised him. Shavchu Michlal de Shapir Ovid. So the Gemara says, it sounds like he did something that was good. Hamra Vashi, Afilaman Darman, Nasu Shemachal, Kvoda Kvoda Machal. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If the proper procedure for a king is to sit, and that's kavod hamelech, and that's considered honor for the king, so that's honor for the king, so you can't waive the honor. The Gemara in Kiddushin, on Daf Lamed Beis, has a discussion. Can a parent be mochel on his kavod? The Gemara says yes, absolutely. Can a rav be mochel on his kavod? The Gemara in Kiddushin has a machlokas amarim, whether or not a rav is allowed to be mochel on his kavod, because the rav is not just representing himself, but he's representing Torah, and the Gemara's discussion over there teeters on whether or not he can be mocha on the Torah that he represents. Okay, so that's a machlokas damarayim. So the parents can be mocha on the kavod. The rav, debatable. And what about a melech? The Gemara there in Kedushin says, as the Gemara over here says as well, that a king cannot be mocha on his kavod. He's a king. And by definition of a king is somebody who demands honor. And he can't waive the kavod that he has. So the Gemara now just simply wants to know, so what is he doing? He's saying, you know what? I know it's proper procedure for the king to sit, but I'm not going to sit. The Gemara now is basically asking, well, if he's not allowed to sit, I'm sorry, if he's supposed to sit, he should sit. He shouldn't waive his kavan. Gemara gives a very quick and punctuated answer. The Gemara says, mitzvah shani. The Gemara says, yeah, but this is in the context of a mitzvah. And the Gemara says, well, that's different. So that's different, says the Gemara, and under the context of a mitzvah, so he can waive his honor. Okay. Okay, the Tosfos over here has a lengthy discussion regarding the propriety of whether or not a king can waive his kavod even for a mitzvah. Tosfos notes that there are a couple of places where it seems that the king cannot waive his honor even for a mitzvah. If you look well down into the Tosfos, about halfway down into Tosfos, v'nir l'taritz, the dafka hacha shaykh l'memer mitzvah shani. So Tosfos really minimizes the Gemara's answer over here. The Gemara's answer over here is that, well, it's a mitzvah, and therefore a king can waive his honor. Tosfos says, I wouldn't say that throughout. I would limit it. The mocha akvona mishum kavod Torah, shu kavod shchina. So over here, one can argue, says Tosfos, that mitzvah shani in this context. Why? Because what's so special about this context? Because over here, he's with a sefer Torah. With the Sefer Torah, so he's waiving his honor for the honor of the Torah. Meaning, even though the king should be sitting while reading, nevertheless, he feels that in order to honor the Torah, I'm going to stay standing. Oh, so now the counter pressure is Kavod HaTorah. Kavod HaTorah says Tosfos, which is really Kavod HaShechina. So now when you counterbalance that with the Kavod HaMelech, so then he's allowed to waive his honor. But Tosfos says, but not by every mitzvah do we just simply say, oh, he's doing a mitzvah, so therefore he can waive his honor. So Tosfos really minimizes the extent of the Gemara's answer. Let's go back to the Gemara. Ukishihigil alo tucha lases. Now, Agrippa starts reading the Sefer Torah, and he gets to the part where it says that you can't appoint a foreigner as your king, and he starts crying. Tana mishmei de Rabbi Nasan bo Shoshan nischaivu sona Yisrael klaya. The Gemara says at that point in time, sona Yisrael obviously here is meant euphemistically, meaning the Jewish people at that point in time were nischaiv. They were found liable. They're obligated. You're not allowed to be machnif. You're not allowed to flatter somebody. When we say flattery, it means praising somebody who does not deserve the praise. So when you're flattering somebody, so that's bad. Okay, that's a very technical term. I really defined it well. So it's bad. And the Gemara says the Jewish people were became liable at that very moment. Because they were machniv, they gave chanufa to Agrippa. Okay. What was the flattery that was inappropriate? So what was a flattery that was inappropriate? So if you take a look at Tosos over here, second Tosos on the Amud, oh, so I am Nischai Vesani, so Klai Yerushalmi Tani Rabbi Chiyab Rabbi Gamliel Omer Harbei Chalalim Naflubo Soyam Sheikh Nifulo. He quotes the first Tosa starts by quoting all Yerushalmi. The Gemara Yerushalmi says that that very day many Jewish people fell. In other words, there must have been some sort of attack on that very day. Tosa then goes on to write. V'davar tamu lama lomar im haya raui. Now the girsa we have on the side is bedin Torah kevin de imo haysam Yisraelis. Now if you remember Rashi we saw yesterday Rashi wrote on the Amud Aleph that his mother was Jewish. His father was not Jewish, but his mother was Jewish. So Ela Mishum Dezila Milsa Kamosha Pirish Rashi is Chayvu Achanufu Muatis Kazos Onish Gadol. So now according to Rashi, what does that mean? It means that Rashi is of the opinion that his mother is a Jew, his father's not Jewish, and Rashi writes, that's the truth be told, says Rashi, is that really you can appoint someone as a king, but Rashi writes, but still, it's just not appropriate. In other words, it really, from an appropriate standpoint, somebody who's going to be the king of Israel should be both mother and father Jewish. That's and the chanufa over here is just simply because it was, the appointment be'etzem is not bad, it's just it's not the best. And because they flatter him, it's by saying achinu ata, so therefore the calamity fell. Tosu says it's really hard to imagine. Hard to imagine that we're talking about the consequences the Jewish people are going to suffer, all because, according to Rashi, wasn't the best appointment. It was an okay appointment, but it wasn't the best. Pirishri, Afagav Damar Perak Mitzvah Chalitza, Beperka Cholitz Gabe Rav Mari De Manya Rava Aporse De Bavam. Now the Gemara in Yavamas and Daf Kuf Beis has a discussion about appointing people who don't have a 100% pure pedigree. The Gemara over there relates that someone whose mother is Jewish can receive an official appointment, but Tosfos goes on to say Begabu Shpizichin De Rava De Bava. And yes, Tosus admits, once you go through the Gemara in Yavamos, you realize that if your mother is Jewish, you are allowed an appointment. Tosus is now going to argue, yes, that's for general leadership appointments. Tosus says, then it will be sufficient if your mother is Jewish. Right, we have a smichus, we have a connection between appointment and karavachecha. Fine. There, it's got to be that there has to be some sort of pedigree. And when we say some sort of pedigree, we mean mother's Jewish, even though the father's not. Obviously, if we were to reverse that, if the father's Jewish and the mother's not, the child's not Jewish, then there's nothing to talk about. But if the mother's Jewish and the father's not, so it's bekerav achecha for general leadership appointments. Kigon, imam Yisrael ava melech. But Tosus over here, the Re is of the opinion that when it comes to the king of the Jewish people, so there we have a double lashon of bekerav achecha. It says it twice in the parsha. Dekapi kra gabi melech asheh mamish mikerav mamutsa me'aviv imo. There it has to be bekerav. It has to be really 100% a full-fledged member of the Jewish people. Meaning that according to Tosfos, a qualification, a prerequisite to be the king of Israel, is that you have to come from both Jewish mother and Jewish father. That's Tosfos' opinion. So Tosfos says, and that's what happened over here. Agrippus comes from a Jewish mother, not a Jewish father, meaning he agrees with Rashi. In principle, the facts on the ground is that Agrippus does not have a Jewish father. Where he disagrees with Rashi, whereas Rashi says, that's enough to be the king, it's just just not. It's not the best. It's not the best selection. Tosfos is going to go one step further. No, it's not that it's not the best. He's simply not qualified. In other areas of leadership position, you're qualified, but in area of becoming the king of Israel, simply not qualified. We read that anyway. Okay, that's Tosfos' opinion. So really, a fundamental machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos and the Balei HaTosfos, he quotes a Ri over here. What exactly is the qualification to become the king of the Jewish people? Do you need mother to be Jewish, or do you need both parents to be Jewish? Although, within the Tosfos, they both agree that for other leadership appointments, it's enough for a mother to be for the mother to be Jewish, even though the father is not. Back to the Gemara. Okay, so a lot of important discussion in the Gemara regarding the qualification in the Tosfos, I should say, regarding the qualification of becoming a king. We turn back to the Gemara. Okay. I'm not aware, but okay. I trust you. I trust him. Okay. So the Tanamish made the Rabbi Nasan Boso Shani Schaivasani saw Klai Shech Nifalola Grippas. Amr Rabbi Shimon and Chalafti Miyom Shigaba Agrupa Shal Chanufa Nitavu Adinim. So when Agrupa was flattered, so the Nitavu Adinim, the judgment became corrupted, and his Kalkul Amasim, and the actions become corrupted. And no one could say my actions are greater than yours. Meaning, what happens when you flatter is that basically it's a corruption of the whole value system. Because what ends up happening now is that people who should not receive flattery and accolades are going to receive them, and they're not behaving properly. So now, what are the people who are behaving properly? What do they have to say? You know, can they tout their good actions? Well, no, because I mean they could, but it's not going. No one's going to pay them regard, because here's what we're doing: we're taking people who shouldn't be receiving accolades and shouldn't be flattered. They're being flattered, so basically, it's a corruption of the whole value system. The Gemara says one of the consequences of flattery. Okay, a discussion in the Gemara, debate in the Gemara whether or not you could be machnif rishayim. Someone who's clearly wicked. So can you be machnif? So the Gemara starts off with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. He says, sure, you can. Basing it on psukim. The pasuk says, Shanem alo yikra ola navel nediv, ulechile lo yamer shua. Once a Rasha dies, so then people will stop honoring him at dinners. Okay, meaning once he dies, michlal de ba'olam hazeh shari. Now implied in the pasuk, it's a diuk, is that only after he dies. But before he died, so you want to honor him at the dinner by all means. That's fine. Rabbi Shimon Malakish Omer Mihacha. Rabbi Shimon Malakish actually agrees as well. Rish Lakish agrees that for Rishayim you're allowed to be machnev. The Gemara says Karos Pnei Elokim Tirtzeni. Look at Yaakov and Esav. What does Yaakov say when he sees Esav? Pnei Elokim. Seeing you is like seeing a malach. It's divine. So you have the opinions over here that you're allowed to flatter Rishayim. Now, in terms of the Svara, the Gemara does not say. I'm just proposing. So take that with a grain of salt. But it goes back to what we said earlier. What's the problem with flattery? The problem of flattery is perverting value system. You're perverting value system when you're taking somebody who doesn't deserve it and you're putting them up on a pedestal. And you're perverting value system. But if someone is clearly a Rasha, so everybody knows that he's a Rasha. Meaning if it's a known entity, so now you're not preventing any value system. I mean, obviously you're being disingenuous, which in of itself is not good, but it's not a total corruption when everybody knows he's a Rasha, and so therefore it's not, it won't be as bad. That's my suggestion. I don't know if I'm right, but just a way of trying to understand these opinions of Shimon ben Pazi and Rabbi and Reish Lakish.
What is the definition of flattery in the frame of Gemara? Like somebody that's good, and you compliment?
Like the example of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's example. The Gemara is going to go through a couple more examples, but the example of the Mishnah where Agrippa really should not have been the king, and the Chachamim are there consoling him, patting him on the back, saying, "No, you're good. You're good."
Someone who doesn't deserve
it. And right. O pligid Rabbi Levi, Dama Rabbi Levi, the Gemara points out, however, that not everyone's in agreement. Rabbi Levi disagrees. Mashal Shayakov Esav Lama Davidama. So he starts off with, I simply disagree. You can't flatter anybody, not even Rishayim. Excuse me. Now what is he going to have to deal with? The dialogue between Yaakov and Esav. And how do you understand how Yaakov spoke to Esav? Esav was a Rasha. Yaakov said, seeing you is like seeing Pnei Elokim. Seems to be a very good proof for Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish that you're allowed to flatter Rasha. So Rabbi Levi will say, no. And I'll explain to you how this works. With the conversation, the dialogue between Yaakov and Esav goes like this. It's like seeing somebody, and you know the guy wants to kill you. Oh, food is delicious. You know, I remember the last time I had this food. It was at the king's house. The last time I ate such a dish, it was delicious. Now, all you're simply saying is a hint, an insinuation that, you know, me and the king, we're tight. Amar yada le malka, and the Rasha says to you, really, you know the king? Mistafe velo katole. Now, you're not saying that seeing you is like seeing the king. You're just simply throwing, your name dropping. I mean, to put it simply. And you're doing so in order to basically preserve your life. Yaakov is basically doing that with Esav. Seeing you is like seeing Pnei Elokim. He's not making a comparison. According to Rabbi Levi, what he's just simply doing is name dropping. Right? Me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So in other words, with a intimation that you start up with me and then you're gonna have serious issues. I'm Rabbi Lazar Koladam Sheshbo Chanufa maybe Afla Olam. Anyone who is involved in this thing called flattery is going to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger into this world. Shenemar v'chan filev yasimu af. V'lo od ela she'ein tfilaso nishmas. Furthermore, says the Gemara, your tefillah goes unanswered. Shenemar lo yishavu ki asaram. When I'm mevaser, when I give yisurim, when I hand them suffering, and they cry out to me, lo yishavu. I do not listen to their tefillahs. Simon af ubar gehenna biyado gida gula. Gola. Okay, from here to the end of the parak, the Gemara now will speak about the ills of Chanufa. Okay, this is it. These are the Gemaras that deal with providing flattery and the bad that ensues. When a person is engaged in this flattery, so not only are you cursed by people, you're cursed also by fetuses as well. Second time in the Masechta we have fetuses talking. The Shenamar, right? Right? Kriyas Yamsuf. Omer LaRasha Tzadikata Yikavu Amim Yizamuhu Leumim. So when a person says regarding a Rasha that he's a tzaddik, which parenthetically, by the way, after seeing this pasuk, curiosity, what is Reish Lakish and Rosh Hashanah Mempazi going to do with this pasuk? Meaning, it sounds like from this pasuk that you're not allowed to praise a Rasha, and their position is that you are. Okay, just my own curiosity. But anyway, so a person is involved in flattery, so he's going to be cursed by Amim and Umim. And we know that, first of all, ain kov elaklala. The word kov is a reference to cursing. Shenem lokabu kel, right? That's by Bilam. And ain laom ela ubrim. And the word laom means nation, but it also means fetus. Shenem laom milom ye'emat. The description of Yaakov and Esav in utero. Vayomer Rebbe Lazar. Sorry. Vi'amer Rebbe Lazar kol adam sheyesh bo chanufa nofel begehenim. Additionally, someone who's involved in Chanufa is going to fall to Gehenem Shenemar. Hoy ha'omrim l'ra tov v'latov ra. If you say good is bad and bad is good. So involved in flattery, providing somebody a full sense of they're doing good when they're not. So the maksiv acharav. So that we know in the context it's talking about flattery. And the next thing it says is, l'chein kecholkash lashon eish v'chashash lehava yirape. So eish lehava, reference to Gehenem. V'amar Rebbe Elazar kol ha'machnuf l'chaver sof nofel biyado. You flatter somebody, you're going to end up falling in his hand. V'yimeinu nofel biyado, nofel biyabanav, v'yimeinu nofel biyabanav, nofel biyaben bano. And if it's not going to be in his hand, it'll either be his son or his grandson. But ultimately, you will be ensnared by him, the one you flattered. Shenemar v'yomer yomiyahu l'chananya, amen ken yaseh Hashem yakem Hashem estverecha. Chananya was a false prophet. Here, this is at the end of Bayis Rishon. Chananya was a false prophet. He said, people do not worry. Excuse me. Yechanya will come back to Eretz Yisrael, and in just a couple short years from now, we'll get back Yechanya, we'll get back the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. Nobody need worry. This is not the end. And Yirmiyahu, who was obviously a Navi, a Navi MS, so he says, Amen ken yiratzon. Yeah, I hope you're right. He says about Hananiah and about the nevuah of Hananiah, even though Hananiah was a Navi Sheker, and he knew he was a Navi Sheker. Now we read on. We know where we're going with this. Meaning, now eventually what's going to happen is that Yirmiyahu is going to be ensnared. So, Vayihi hu bishar binyamin visham baal pikidos. There was a sergeant over there. V'ushmo yirayeh ben Shamaya ben Hananiah. So it was the grandson of the Navi Sheker Hananiah, but he posted Yirmiyahu Navi lemor alakasim atanofel. So, and he grabs Yirmiyahu and he says, I'm taking you to the custom. Vayomer, Vayipos Yirmiyahu and Navi Lamor al custom atanafel. Sorry. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, we're on the top of Mem Beis Amad Allah, four lines down. Vayomer Yirmiyahu Sheker, Eininunufel. El Akazdim, Uksiv, Vayipos Yirmiyahu, Vayavel al Hasarim. So Yirmiyahu was taken, he was handed over to the Sarim. Again, point made. Point was is that when you are machnif, when you flatter somebody, you're going to end up falling in their hands, or their son, or the grandson. Here, perfect illustration from Tanakh, where Yirmiyahu flattered Hananiah, the Navi Sheker, and then he was taken away by the grandson who has ended up being a sergeant of Hananiah. Next, Amar Avalaz kol Ada Shiyesh Bo Chanufa Meusakinida. Any congregation who flatters is disgusting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu like a nida. Shenemer ki Adas Chanaf Gamur. She came bekar Chayam Korin Lenida Gamuda. In the Kar Chayam, in the islands, in Greece and Cyprus. Okay. Turkey. So in the island, so they, whenever they refer to the Nida, they refer to it as Gamuda. My Gamuda, Gemula Mibala. She is separated from her husband. So a congregation that involves themselves in Chanufa is like separated from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rav Elazar called Ada Sheyesh Bo Chanufa Lasov Gola. Any congregation that is involved in flattery is going to be sent into exile. Ksiv hacha ki adas chanaf gamudei. Ksiv hasam ve'amar bavavecha mi ala liyaseila ve'anish shekula ve'gamuda gola v'sura. So once again, you see the word gola in the context of someone who gives flattery. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba arba kito te mekabel p'nei hashchita. There are four groups of people who do not have an audience with the Shechina. Kas Leitzim, Kas Chanifim, Kas Shkarim, Kas Misaper Lashon Hara. People who are Leitz, they're clowns, they mock, they deride, they poke fun. Chanifim, that's the people who flatter. Shkarim, people who tell lies repeatedly, habitual liars. And Misaper Lashon Hara, right? The people who are habitually speaking Lashon Hara. Kas Leitzim, Dichsiv, Mashach, Yadoa, Slotasim. So, Psukim that speak out this idea. The Lot Sage, the scoffer. Mashach Yado, Kadosh Baruch Hu withdraws his hand. Kas Chanif and Dechsev Kilol Afanav Chanaf Yavo. He will not have an audience with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Chanufa Kachkar and Dechsev Dover Shkarim Lo Yikon LeYenegen Einai. Another pasuk detailing how a person who is an habitual liar will not have an audience with Hashem. And Kav Misaper Lashon Hara Dechsev Kilol Kel Chafetz Rasha Ata Lo Yagurcha Ra Sadikata Hashem Lo Yagur Memagurcha Ra. So Chafetz, the person who is Chafetz, a reference to Lashon Hara. The Rashi says in the pasuk that the Gemara quotes itself, it's not clear that's talking about Lashon Hara, but if you look contextually over there, you'll see that it deals with a person speaking habitual Lashon Hara. He's not going to have an audience with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so Hadronach Elon Ne'emar, end of the seventh parak, and a discussion, almost an amud of Gemara dedicated to the topic of Chanufa. For more on the topic of Chanufa, a very good source is going to be the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva discusses, he goes through various midos and characteristics, talks about Tshuva in general, talks about midos to MS. Anyway, there he has a lengthy discussion about Chanufa and the ills of Chanufa. Okay, we are now on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We now start the eighth parak of the Masech. But really, truth be told, is that this is a Hemshech, it's a continuation of the previous parak. If you remember all the way back at the previous parak, we're now going 10 days ago in the daf, back to Lamed Beis. So on the mission over there, we discussed things that can be said b'chol lashon and things that can only be said b'lashon hakodesh. So things that can be said b'chol lashon: Parsha Sota, Vidua Maisa, Kriya Shema Tila, Birchas Amazon, Shavuos Eidah, Shavuos Apikadon. Seven things that can be said b'chol lashon. And what must be said b'lashon hakodesh? So Birchas Kohanim, which Mikra Bikurim, which we haven't discussed as of yet. Chalitza, which truth be told, we haven't discussed as of yet. Birchas Klalos Ubrachos, right? Hargrizim and Harayival, we spent a lot of time talking about that in the seventh parak. Birchas Kohanim, we spent three days talking about that in the seventh parak. And Birchas Kohen Gadol, the bracha of the Kohen Gadol, which we are about to embark on in the eighth parak. And Parsha Samalchin Hakel. It is interesting that generally what happens was that when the Mishnah gives the list, the Mishnah then follows them, is committed to following the list in order. And admittedly, as we're looking at the Mishnah all the way back on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, so we have not gone, the Mishnayos have not gone over these things in the order that it was presented in Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. It's a curiosity. Tosfos is bothered by that as well. Okay, it's worth noting and worth trying to discover why the Mishnah is not following the order as presented on Lamed Beis. In the meantime, as we begin now the eighth parak of the Masechta, things that must be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Now this is a little counterintuitive, because what we're about to introduce is the idea that when the Kohen Gadol, now there are two Kohen Gadols, I know that sounds strange, but you've been around in the daf long enough, it's not so strange. There's a Kohen Gadol who does the Avodah, and there's another Kohen Gadol who's appointed with the Shemin HaMishcha. And that's what's called the Meshuch Mechama. Meshuch Mechama is that there's a chief rabbi of the army, and he is going to, this chief rabbi of the army is not just a rabbi, he's a Kohen Gadol, and appointed with the Shemin HaMishcha. And as they are going off to war, so he is going to providing words of encouragement. Words of encouragement and strength. And I'm saying it's a little counterintuitive because this must be done b'lashon HaKodesh. I say it's a little counterintuitive because you would think the whole point over here is that you want to get the troops ready, prepared, right, brave. You want to speak to them in a language they understand. So it does run a little counterintuitive that it must be done in Lashon HaKodesh, and even though they may not be understanding. But we'll talk more about that later on. But the halach is very clear. It has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Meshuch Mechama. So here now the Mishnah is going to be giving a more descriptive picture of how it's going to look. Just quickly, let's familiarize ourselves with the psukim. We are in Parsha Shoftim. Kiseitze lemelchama. Right. So sometimes a mistake is made where the Baal Kore, when they open up to read Kiseitze, so they start Kiseitze lemelchama, meaning one parak earlier, a parak and a half earlier, because it's same opening and it also has a break. Anyway, Kiseitze lemelchama levecha Parsha Shoftim parakhaf. First pasuk, you go out to war. Varisusus v'rechav am rav mimcha lo sira mehem ki Hashem lokecha imach amalcha meret Mitzrayim. Don't worry, because Baruch is with you. V'haya bekar v'chem el amelchama v'nigash akoyin v'diber la'am. So as you're about to approach war, so the Kohen now is going to come close. V'amar aleim shema Yisrael tem krevim ayom amelchama aleivechem. Do not worry. You are about to enter war. Al yirach levavchem. Do not be afraid. Al tiru v'atach bezuva al tarzu mipneihem. Do not be afraid. Ki Hashem alkechem alechem alchem alechem alchem imoy vechem lo shiaschem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going in with you. V'dibra shochem alaam leimor. And then the shochem come and they speak. Okay. Let's pause over here. Let's go to the Mishnah. The Mishnah now records. Meshuch mechama b'shar shemadaber la'am b'lashon hakodesh hayam medaber shenemar v'haya kikavachem al melchama v'nigash hakohen zeh kohen meshuch mechama. So it is the Kohen meshuch mechama who is going to be speaking. V'daber la'am b'lashon hakodesh. The dibur over here is specifically in lashon hakodesh. Mayom alam shema Yisrael al oyvehem v'al v'lo. I'm sorry. Al oyvehem. You're going to war with your enemy. And below alachechem, and do not consider them to be brothers. Lo Yehud al Shimon, lo Shimon al Binyamin, and it's not Yehud on Shimon, it's not Shimon on Binyamin. Sheim tiplu bi adam yirachmu alechem. Now, if there is ever civil war, which unfortunately there was, and there was prisoners of war, so there is rachmanis. And the Gemara is now, I'm sorry, the Mishnah is now going to cite in Tanakh where we see where there was civil war, but also there was rachmanis at the same time. Kemashe Nemar, the Pasuk says, in Divrei Yamim, Vaikum anashim asher nikvu b'shemot v'yachziku b'shevial kol ma'arameihem l'bishu min hashalal. So there were people taken as prisoners of war. This is historically, says Rashi. I mean, we could also look up the Pesukim in Tanakh, but, you know, we're learning the Gemara. It's a little bit easier just to turn to Rashi. Says Rashi, Vaikum anashim k'siv gabe pekach ben Ramayahu. So Rashi says this occurs during pekach ben Ramayahu. Shenochami mechaz b'divrei yamim. So went to war against the Chaz. Okay, so civil war between the north and the south. So sheshavu mimnei Yehuda harbei. And Pekach ben Remaliahu, who was Malchi Yisrael, Melch Yisrael, so he took a number of the soldiers of Yehuda as prisoners. Vishama Yunavi Odeid, and there Rashi points out that there was a prophet, his name was Odeid. V'ochicham l'bnei Yisrael v'amar lehem b'chamas Hashem al b'nei Yehuda ninam b'yadchem. And the Navi says, you know you captured them, but don't take credit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with them. It's really Hashem. It's not you. And v'kisa mehem la'in merapei v'ata atem omrim l'chvosho sam la'avadim shima'uni v'eshuva sashivya. And Odeid the Navi says to Pekach ben Remaliahu, send them back. Do not make them slaves. Do not make them prisoners of war. Excuse me. Just simply send them back.
120,000.
Yeah. So he'll be shumin hashalav yabashum yanalum. So I'm now back in the Mishnah. We're reading the pesukim in Divrei Hayamim. He'll be shumin hashalav yabashum yanalum v'achilum v'ishkum v'yischum. So they fed them. They rubbed oil on their bodies. Meaning they basically treated them great. And they sent them back to Yericho, meaning they sent them back south, and they returned back to the Shomron. Okay, so that's what were to happen if you go to war with your brothers, meaning there's going to be a little bit of rachmanis, because ultimately when all said and done, they're your brothers. However, al oyvechem atam ochim. Contrary to that, that's not what's happening right now. You're going to war against your enemy. If they capture you, there's not going to be any rachmanos. So don't think that, okay, you know what, I won't fight anymore, I'll just be captured, it'll all be good. It won't. Again, quoting the pesukim that we just quoted a moment ago in Parsha Shoftim. And what the Mishnah is really explaining over here is the language seems to be a little bit repetitive. And how do you understand the Ribu Alashon? So don't be afraid. Salasusim v'tzichos charvos. The sound of the hoofbeat and the tzichos charvos and the clanking of the swords. Atru mimnei hagafas trisim v'shafas ha'kalkisim. And the shields being knocked one against the other. Right? Intimidation tactics done by an army is to create a lot of sound and fury. So Al Tach Bazu, the third term that's used in the Torah, we call Kranos. They blow horns, they blow shofar again. The idea is that they're going to create a commotion in order to intimidate. Al Tar Tsumimne Kol Tzvachos. Don't be afraid by the screaming voices. They're coming in with victory, but it's only of Basar Adam. But you're coming in with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And just to illustrate examples, the Kohen Gadol is now going to explain. Look, let's go back historically. So the Plishin come in, and they come in with Basar Adam. Galias. Big, imposing, intimidating. Maya sofala sof nafal becharef. So eventually his head was cut off. V'nafalimo b'nei Amon. Bam b'nitzchono shol Shovach. And Amon as well. They come in with this giant by the name of Shovach. Maya sofala sof nafal becharef. V'nafalimo v'atem. Iatem kain. So good. So they're coming in with all their military power and their giants, and that's all good. But that's Basav Adam. You, on the other hand, you're coming in with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, ki Hashem Elokechem Olechem Lachem Lachem Lachem. Zem Machane Aaron. This is a reference to Machane Aaron. So you obviously have the upper hand. Okay, let's begin the Gemara. My Ka'amar. The Gemara now starts off with how to understand the Mishnah. So how did we learn that the inspirational speech given by the Kohen Gadol, by the Kohen Meshuch Melchama, again, he's a quasi Kohen Gadol, form of a Kohen Gadol. So how do we know it must be Lashon HaKodesh? The Mishnah just simply said, Daber, and of course you know that means Lashon HaKodesh. Where's the connection? Hachi kama shenema v'daber lahalan omer Moshe daber v'lakim yanin b'kol malahalan b'lashon kodesh avkam b'lashon kodesh. Okay, so the Gemara just fills in that really it's a gzera shavah. Just like when Moshe repeated that which he heard by Har Sinai, by Mamon Har Sinai, and clearly over there it was b'lashon kodesh, so too over here the Kohen Gadol must speak also b'lashon kodesh. Tana rabbanan v'nigash kohen v'daber alam yachol kol kohen ishiyirtzeh. Now the Torah just simply says the kohen. Now, what does that mean? Could be any kohen. Tamalamer v'dabru ashotrim, mashoshim b'memuna avkohen b'memuna. No, it must be an appointed position, because the part of the chumash which I didn't read is that the next speech is going to be given by shotrim. Shotrim is some sort of officer. That's an appointed position. The kohen also is an appointed position. Ve'em a kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, okay. So again, the Torah tells us it's a kohen. We know it's a kohen. It's a kohen that's appointed. What do we know? We know that an appointed kohen is a kohen gadol, right? So it must be that. The Gemara says, no. Do me the shoter. My shoter sheish mamuna al gabav. Av kohen sheish mamuna al gabav. So it must be a shoter, somebody who, yes, is an officer, but has a superior. So by looking at the kohen, it must be an appointed kohen, but who has a superior. And who's that? There's only one there's only one superior, that's the Kohen Gadol. So it must be there's a sub Kohen Gadol. And that's the Kohen Meshuch Mechama. So Mamun al Gabav Kohen Gadol. Nami Ha'ika, I'm sorry. Av Kohen Shish Mamun al Gabav Kohen Gadol. So Nami Ha'ika Melech al Gabav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but doesn't the Kohen Gadol have someone above him? Meaning the king. The Melech is in the chain of command, number one. So the Gemara says, true, but ba'avoda so kamar. No, in terms of doing the avoda, no one is above the Kohen Gadol. So basically, we need a Kohen who is appointed, but is going to have someone above him, only one person above him. Hence, we have this position known as Kohen Meshuch Mechama. The Ema Sigan. What about the deputy Kohen Gadol? Isn't that an appointed position just below the Kohen Gadol? Skan lav memunahu. So the Gemara says, no, the skan is not an appointed position. Detanya am Rabbi Chananya skan kohanim. Right, somewhat ironic, but not really. I mean, not ironic, but fitting. He is a skan kohanim. Lam is skan memuna sheim irabo pso be Kohen Gadol nechtanu mishamish tachtav. Meaning that the skan is not an appointed position. He's basically somebody who is waiting. If in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so he will become the next appointed Kohen Gadol. But there's no official appointed position of Skan. Obviously, we dedicate a Kohen to become a Skan, but that's not a particular appointment. The appointment comes in only comes when the Kohen Gadol is no longer fit. Then you're going to have the Skan Kohen Gadol going to take the position of the Kohen Gadol. So really, truth be told, in terms of appointments, we only have two appointed positions by Kohanim. We have the Kohen Gadol, that's number one on the chain of command, and just below that we have the Meshuch Mechama. Let's go. Let's at least turn the page. The Amar Alem Shema Yisrael Maishna Shema Yisrael Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochanan Malam Akarish Baruch Hu LeYisrael Afilu Lo Kiyamtem El Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. Why using the word Shema Yisrael? A veiled reference, not even so veiled, right? But a veiled reference to the fact that really you're going to win because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you, which means that you're going to need zechuyos. Even if you just said Shema morning and evening, that's enough of a zechus iatam nimsarim biyadam, where you're not going to be handed over to them. I'm sorry, pa'mayim medaber imam. The Kohen's going to be speaking to them on two occasions. Achas pesfar v'achas b'machama. When they get to the border. Sounds like, by the way, just in the context of this to Gemara over here, that we're talking about a war going out for annexation purposes. Right? What we would refer to as Milchemes Rishus. Because we're headed to the border. Right? A discussion in the Rishonim whether or not this is also going to be done in the context of Milchemes Mitzvah. But just by virtue of the fact that we're talking about at the border, sounds like this is en route for annexation. Once at the border, what does he say at the border? I'm sorry, who is fit to go back? Who is fit not to go back? And then, the Keneged Arba'ad Dvarim She'Obrei Kochavim Osim Megifim Omerim Tzvachim Veromsim. And again, like we saw back in our Mishnah, the four different things you need not be afraid of are the four different tactics that were employed by the Goyim in order to intimidate. So contra to the four methods of intimidation, so the Kohen Gadol is saying right before engaging in the actual battle, these are the things that you need not be afraid of. Okay, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we Plishtim. Tomorrow a little bit about Galyas. We will continue tomorrow with the Meshuch Machama and anticipation of war.